It is good to see all of you back again this evening. I thank you, Jonathan, for the songs that you led us in because they did focus our mind on the subject that we're going to be discussing this evening, and that is the nature of our relationship with our God and with our Lord. As we get into the sermon, I want something to be done by all of you, including myself. Answer this question: what kind of relationship do you have with God? What kind of relationship do you have with our Lord and our King, Jesus the Christ? We're going to be studying three different attitudes you will find in the lives of individuals. And as I meditated on the sermon this week, I couldn't help but be thinking about the parable of the sower and the soils, and the wayside, and the rocky ground, and the thorny ground, and the good ground. Because I believe you can find these three types of hearts identified in the parable of the sower. But as I said, as we get into the lesson here, I want you to be examining yourself and figure out which one of these fits you. And at the same time, we're in a lesson this evening, we're going to be trying to study exactly what it is God wants from us. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. And the Lord said, "Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts, after the bells which their fathers taught them." Again, going over to Jeremiah 18:12, "And they said, 'That is hopeless, so we will walk according to our own plans, and we will every one obey the dictates of his evil heart.'" What you see in these two texts here in Jeremiah is the battle that basically we all face. And that is, am I going to do what the Lord wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? In the text here, these individuals, they forsook the law of God. They would not obey the voice of God. Instead, they decided they were going to do what they wanted to do. So whose will is it going to be that you obey? Are you going to be doing what you want to do? Are you going to be doing what the Lord wants you to do? Now, as long as what the Lord wants you to do is what you want to do, well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? When the will of God is the same as your will, well, that's a pretty easy one to figure out. The struggle is when the command of God is not something that you want to do, or something that's not easy. Here comes the battle of the wills, and whose will is going to dominate? What we are expected to do in Christianity is to deny ourselves, to put to death our will to where it's no longer we who live, but Christ living in us and through us when we live by faith. I have found in my study of the world and working with people that there are people you come in contact with that whenever you talk with them about Christianity, or just even the subject of God himself, there are individuals that you come in contact with that are indeed wayside soil, and that is basically they don't want to hear it. They're fully content with doing what they want to do in their life, and the basic motto is, if it feels good, do it. If I like it, I'm going to do it, and I don't really care what the Bible says, what God says, I'm going to go my way. In Jeremiah 10, verse 14, he says, "Everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge." I want you to realize that being without knowledge is a consequence or comes from being dull-hearted. A dull-hearted individual is someone whose heart's closed. And that is, here comes the Word of God. Here comes the truth of God. Here comes the love of God. Trying to draw them to Him, they've got the heart closed. They don't want to hear about the existence of God. There are individuals out there in the world that don't even believe in God. And I remember when I was asked to lecture to an audience of atheists in Czechoslovakia, I was terrified because I thought there had to be something in science, some reason, some fact that would cause them to renounce the existence of God. And with in-depth study for about a half a year, I finally figured out that if you study true science, it's going to point to the Creator. Then I had to ask myself this question: why would they renounce the existence of God? It's because they don't want to be accountable. You need to realize that atheism is more of religion than science. They don't want to be accountable. They are dull-hearted. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. As one atheist put it one time, when he was told that there's two possibilities of where we came from, either creator or evolution, he said, no, there's only one possibility, and that is evolution. There is no possibility for God to even be. Why would someone be so adamant? They're dull-hearted. They've closed their eyes because they have totally decided, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go my way. I don't really care. I don't want to hear about God, because you realize if there's a God, that means, oh, I've got an answer to him. And there is a right and wrong. And there are morals. There are people out in the world that don't want to hear about Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you just think about it, if you were going to try to just take the entire world and break it down into these three categories, close-hearted, half-hearted, and wholehearted, what do you think the majority of the world would fall under? I would say the majority of the world is close-hearted. You think about how many people are out in the world that don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about the crucifixion. They don't want to hear about the resurrection. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They don't want to hear about the kingdom of Christ. They don't want to hear the good news of the gospel, if there's a way they can have their sins forgiven and be reconciled to God. Now, that's amazing to me. Because, you know, the good news is just that. It's good news. There's a way you can be forgiven. There's a way you can go to heaven. There's a way you can be with God. And yet the vast majority of mankind is closed-hearted. They don't want to hear. And how does faith coming? Faith comes through hearing the word of God. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And even those that will acknowledge that there is a God, and will even acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, quite often when you come to them and you try to talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, just the very first principles of the oracles of God, how to become a Christian. I'm amazed at how many people don't want to hear that. I just don't want to hear that. That doesn't fit with how I feel. That doesn't fit with what I think. And you need to realize, whenever people start talking about how they feel and how they think and their personal opinions on the situations, that's just another way of saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to receive or hear what's being said to me from the Word of God. That's dull-hearted. Again, in the wayside soil, that is when you're sowing the seed, and the idea, here comes Satan, he just takes it away out of their heart. It doesn't even sink in. It doesn't even sink in at all. It just bounces off of it, like a rubber ball off of a wall. Acts describes this again in Acts 28, 26 to 27, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Have you ever talked with someone and just been absolutely flustered that they cannot see something that is as plain as the nose on your face? And I mean, folks, the simplicity of Christianity is not difficult to understand. It isn't difficult to deduce God's existence. And if you've never come in contact with a stubborn atheist, it's a very interesting experience. You may have come in contact with people, though, that you just sit down and you just take the scriptures and you just open it up and just read a verse to them. And they may even actually believe the Bible is the Word of God, and you just read a verse to them. They're just straightforward. It really just means what it says. And they go, no, it doesn't mean that. What often comes to my mind when I say that is, I remember one time having a Bible study with a young man from the Gospel of Luke. And we were talking about the parable of the sower. And I got his finger in his own Bible, and I took his finger in his own Bible, and we read from his Bible, is it possible for someone to receive the word with joy, believe for a while, and time of temptation fall away? And he looked up at me and said, no, it's not possible. And I said, but I just read it out of your own Bible. You just read it out of your own Bible. And this is what he said. He said, that's what it says, but it doesn't mean that. Rubber ball bouncing off the wall. Tunk. Nope, that's not it. And basically that is, yeah, it says that, but I don't like that. Tonk, I reject it. In Christianity, we do not take the word of God and make it fit our feelings. We do not take the word of God and make it fit what we want to do. There are people who basically become involved in sin, and they don't want to turn from the sin. They want to make the word of God fit what they like to do. There again comes the battle of the wills. The word of God really isn't that difficult to understand. The morals of Christianity are not that difficult to understand. It's just a matter of whether or not you are going to change your life to fit the word of God. It is you and I that need to do the changing. As he says in the close of this text here, what they need to do is open their eyes, open their ears, and understand, and then do what? Turn. We're the ones that need to be doing the turning. We're the ones that need to be doing the changing. Not trying to make the word of God fit what we want to do, but whenever the word of God says you're going in the wrong direction and it corrects us, we are just simply to say, yes, Lord, and go the way the Lord directs. And yet, as I said, it's amazing to me. I firmly believe that the majority of mankind is closed-hearted and dull-hearted. As a consequence, they don't understand. They don't have knowledge. Because they've closed their eyes, they've closed their ears, they've closed their heart. And even though you go to them with the truth, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. Because they're comfortable where they are. And then there's another type of heart. Jeremiah again described in Jeremiah 3 and 10. And yet for all of this her treachery, her treacherous sister, Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense. Do you understand what pretense is? Pretense is going through the motions. Not really doing it. You're turning, but you really don't want to turn. It's like, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not really for real about this. We also call it half-hearted. Jeremiah again, chapter 12, and in verse 2. You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. There again, what we call lip service. Y'all probably more familiar with that one. And that is the idea, you talk, but you don't walk the walk. Again, you're going to find that there are individuals out in the world. And I think of them as the rocky ground and the thorny ground. They receive the word. They believe to a certain extent they have given themselves over to service of God. But then, you know, there's the cares of the world. And then there's these things that they really enjoy doing. That they really have a hard time letting go of. And they don't want to let go of it. And they convince themselves, you know, I can serve the Lord and money at the same time. I can serve God and mammon. I can serve God and stay in my sin. I can give God half of me, and he'll be satisfied with that. Half-hearted Christianity is to where you don't totally reject God. You don't reject Jesus as being the Son of God. You don't reject the Bible as being the Word of God. You take a great portion of it even. But there's still a part of your life and your heart that when it gets down to it, you're going to do what you want to do when it comes to this part of your life. As I was meditating on this text this week, another thing that I thought of was the spiritual battle that's going on inside all of us between carnal mindedness and spiritual mindedness. You do realize there's a battle going on in all of our hearts and minds. And that is, are we going to serve the desires of the flesh? Are we going to walk in the Spirit and be spiritually minded? Sometimes it seems that people try to be having one foot in the world and one foot in the church. To where there are times they just want to live like the world, and there's times they want to be a Christian. And they'll serve the Lord for a while, and then they won't serve the Lord. And they're back and forth and back and forth. And you really don't know where they're going to be at any given time. That's why they call them a double-minded person. That is the idea, they're unstable in all their ways. You don't really know exactly where they're going to be at what time. Revelation describes this another way. In Revelation 3, 15 through 16, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Again, when I think of this, that is the idea of lukewarm. I'm on fire a little bit. I want to serve the Lord. Yeah, he's the king. Now I'm going to go do what I want to do. The Lord says about this type of attitude that it makes him want to spit you out of his mouth or vomit you out of his mouth. Do not think that half-hearted Christianity is pleasing to God. He does not want your relationship to just be in pretense, just going through the motion, giving lip service to him, calling him Lord, Lord, but not doing the things which he says. James, again, James 4 and verse 8, says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. It is here in James where he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he tells us the answer to that double-mindedness is to purify your heart, and that is let go of the other half. Let go of the part of your mind and the part of your will that you're still holding on to, that you're still being stubborn about and say, but I want to do this. I want to go to heaven and be a Christian, but I still want to do this. I can't have both of them. No. No, you can't. When you deny yourself, you give yourself as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want half of anybody. He wants all or nothing. That is the seriousness of our relationship with God. He doesn't want half of you. And yet, I'm firmly convinced that there are multitudes out there who wear his name, who think, I can give him half and that will be enough. After all, 50% is a pretty good amount, isn't it? How about 75%? I mean, that's a pretty good amount. That's the majority, isn't it? And there's just this little part of yourself over here that you're still holding back. Surely he wouldn't mind if you give him the majority. The majority is not going to get it. He wants all of your heart. Acts 8, 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the text here, this is dealing with a text you're probably very familiar with, where Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he preaches to him about Christ. When the eunuch says, see, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? Here's the answer. If you believe, now notice this, with all your heart. It can't be, you know, he might be. You know, I think he could be the Christ. I see it as a very strong possibility. That's not going to get it. It can't be the idea of a strong possibility. I think it really could be. I hope it is. No, it's got to be. He is. No doubt. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And you believe it with your entire fiber and being and your entire heart. No doubt. Because that is the kind of relationship God wants. He wants a relationship of complete, total trust and faith. No doubting. Matthew 22, I consider to be the core of our whole relationship with God, the core command. This particular command is what the old covenant was built around. This particular command is what the new covenant is built around. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you understand what this verse is saying? Do you get from this verse, it's okay to just give him part of your affection to where I think highly of him? I admire him. I appreciate him. He's good. God wants all of your heart into it. He wants you to get, now listen to this, completely, totally consumed with your relationship with him, to where your relationship with God is everything. And your whole life is built around your relationship with God. He does not want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life, your existence, your purpose in being. This doesn't mean that you don't work, you don't have a family. You need to realize, with God at the center, your work, your family, everything you do is built around your relationship with Him. All your heart, all your soul, all of your mind. A wholehearted relationship. Whatever part of you it may be that you're holding on to, if you are holding on to any part of your will, let it go. Let go of it. Deny yourself. Empty yourself to where it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you and through you. When you live by faith according to His will. In Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All your heart. You search for Him. Y'all know the verse, seek and you shall find. The word seek is not casually looking for. It is trying to find Him, trying to find Him with all your power. Have you ever lost something that was really, really, really valuable, sentimental, and precious to you? I'm not talking about your pen. I'm not talking about your car keys. I'm talking about maybe something that's really, really special to you, and you can't find it. When you start looking for it, and you realize it's gone, you can't remember where it is or where you put it, you're going to look and look and look and look, and you can't find it. You're going to sit down and think about it and look some more, and you'll go back and you'll look in the same drawer 3 or 4 times. And you'll look in every place, and then you say, okay, where haven't I looked? That's seeking. That's searching with your whole heart to where you're bound and determined, I'm going to find my Lord and my God. I'm going to find the way to Him. Because whenever you are searching and seeking, it is going to lead you ultimately to Christ crucified. And you're going to find your way to your Father in heaven through Christ. Psalms 119, verse 145. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep your statutes. Whenever you pray to God, what does God want you to pray to Him with? Y'all know the answer from James. A heart of faith. Nothing doubting. What God wants from us, folks, is very simply this. Just trust Him with your whole heart. Absolute confidence and trust. Because when you're going to Him in prayer, if you're doubting His existence, doubting that He's hearing your prayers, doubting that He cares about you, doubting that He's going to answer your prayers, you need to realize He sees that. He sees the doubt in our hearts. And He knows if we're half-hearted in our relationship with Him. He knows if we're double-minded. And if you're double-minded and you're doubting, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. What He wants from you is wholehearted trust. When you go to God with wholehearted trust in your prayer life, that's the most powerful thing in the universe. The prayer of a righteous man that is effectual and fervent. And then in Psalms 111 and verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Worship is an expression of your personal relationship with God. Do you realize that? That's why I asked you in the very beginning, what kind of relationship do you have with God? Because what worship is meant to be is an expression from your heart to God of that relationship, that you do love Him with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, that you love Him and you're glorifying Him from your heart and worshiping Him from your heart. So again, we need to come back to our worship and I ask this question. Is our worship just in pretense? Is it just lip service? to where we're saying the words with our lips, but our mind and our heart is far from Him. When we worship, let it be sincere from the heart, making melody from your heart to the Lord, giving cheerfully, gladly, praying with the Spirit and with the understanding, singing with the Spirit and with the understanding, focusing on the death of the Son of God and thanking our God for that sacrifice. Let it be worship and praise given from the whole heart. What God wants from us is a wholehearted relationship. All of us. All of our love, all of our soul, all of our mind, to where none of it is held back. He wants us to get consumed in our love for Him. And when you are consumed in your love for God, you know what? You're going to keep His commandments. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. When you are consumed with a love for God, when you pray to God, it is going to be a very intimate, special moment that you're going to your Creator, that you know is there, that hears you, that cares about you, and is going to answer your prayers. That's where the peace of God that passes all understanding comes from, is that kind of relationship. And in a wholehearted relationship, when you come together to worship, it's not just going to be going through the motions. Other people may be doing it, but you won't be. You'll be singing from your heart to your God, because nobody else can do it for you. You'll be focusing on the death of the Son of God. You'll be praying with the understanding, with a whole heart. That is the kind of relationship, and the only kind of relationship, God will accept. Do you think anyone's going to go to heaven with a closed heart? Do you think anyone's going to go to heaven with half a heart relationship with God? Do you think anybody from Revelation 3, where Jesus says, "I want to vomit you out of my mouth," do you think He's going to say to those people in the day of judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? You know the answer to that question is no. The only ones who will be with God are those who have let go and given themselves as a living sacrifice, all of yourself, in your service and in your relationship to Him. There may be somebody here this evening who is not a member of the body of Christ. I have tried to explain to you what God wants, what He expects from you. He wants you to give yourself over to Him. By the way, that's what repentance is all about. Putting off the old man, putting to death the old man, turning and putting on the new man, and He will heal us. He will forgive us. What we're describing here is repentance. To where when we're going the wrong direction, we humbly receive correction and we say, "Yes, Lord," and we feel godly sorrow and we turn from the sin. If you believe Jesus is the Christ and you're willing to confess that faith, please understand the confession of your faith is going to be the easiest thing you ever do. The second easiest thing you'll ever do in your life as a Christian is becoming baptized. The difficult thing is going to be denying yourself and taking up your cross daily and following Him. The struggle you're going to face is the battle of the wills. Whose will is going to be done? Your will or His will be done. And what He wants you to do is let go of your will. Repent, put off the old man, put on Christ, and then submit to the will of God in your life. If you're a child of God already, and you have lost the battle of the wills, to where you have done as Jeremiah described, the dictates of your own heart, and you decide, "I'm going to do what I want to do, even though it's contradictory to what the Lord wants me to do," it's time to turn from that sin. You know it. It's time to put off that sin and to come back into the relationship with God the way He wants it to be. Let go. and give yourself over completely to God. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you're a subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs of this.